The summer movie season is underway, and there are the usual big-budget action blockbusters, comedies, horror thrillers, and, of course, animated stories. And as usual, the vast majority of those films will have been produced and written by white males, with mostly white males in lead roles. As part of its Hollywood Advancement Project, the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies at UCLA has examined the diversity gap in the film and television industries. The center's most recent findings can be found in its 2014 Hollywood Diversity Report. Darnell Hunt is a sociology professor at UCLA and director of the Bunche Center. He joins us now here in the Cheryl Flowers Radio Studios. Darnell, good to have you on this program as always.
Oh, thanks for having me, Tavis.
I hope the year will come when this conversation will change, and yet year after year after year, the narrative doesn't seem to alter much. Why do you think that is?
Well, you know, that's a great question, and that's why we're doing what we're doing. First off, the Hollywood industry is a very insular industry. It's an industry that has a long tradition. It's a very lucrative industry. People make lots and lots of money, which means that the people who are in control want to maintain control, and historically that's meant white males. It's a high-risk industry because most new TV shows fail. Most films don't make the money that they hoped they would make. Mm-hmm. So what that means is that people who are making these projects are scrambling to do everything they can to increase the odds that the project will make money. And what that means for the white males who control the industry is they want to surround themselves with talent they feel comfortable with, they think they can work with, they can sort of anticipate and understand each other's perspectives. And what that's meant historically is more white males. With very few exceptions. You know, women, minorities have had a really hard time breaking into this clique.
Does that mean that these white males don't even view this as a problem?
Well, you know, that's the interesting part, and that's where our project comes in, the Hollywood Advancement Project. And what we found is that diversity actually sells. Mm-hmm. I mean, for the longest time, we've made moral arguments about why it's important to diversify the industry, the fact that society itself is more diverse and we need to reflect that. But that argument's fallen on deaf ears. Nobody's buying that or no one's really listening to that. And I think that what's moving the industry now is our ability to show with hard numbers that diversifying films, you know, both in front of and behind the camera, actually results in higher ratings in TV and higher box office in film. And that's, in fact, what we found in the 2014 Hollywood Diversity Report.
Tell me more about what you found.
Well, we found a disconnect, which is why the subtitle is Making Sense of the Disconnect. And the disconnect is this. On the one hand, we found that more diversity in cast, in television, and in film, roughly diversity that reflects the diversity of American society. And right now, American society is about 37% minority. Mm-hmm. When you get into that diversity interval, you tend to peak in terms of ratings in TV, and you tend to peak in terms of box office and film. The disconnect is that when you actually look at the figures of who's involved, the numbers are pretty abysmal. In terms of film leads, minorities are underrepresented by more than a factor of 3-1. Minorities, again, are only about 10% of leads in films, despite the fact that they're about 38% of the population. They are underrepresented by about 3-1 as film directors, 5-1 as film writers, 7-1 as leads in broadcast, greater than 2-1 in cable. I mean, the stats go on. I mean, the underrepresentation is pretty abysmal. So if, in fact, diversity sells, how can you explain the fact that they're not going for more diversity if, in fact, the goal of the industry is to make money?
So how do we explain it?
Well, we explain it by what I mentioned earlier, the fact that, you know, people aren't always the most rational creatures. I mean, mm-hmm. from a perspective of the whole industry, from the perspective of individuals who are trying to protect their own positions, which is what white males are doing, they're hiring their buddies. I mean, they've kind of figured out ways to sort of skirt attempts to diversify the industry. For example, the networks have diversity slots on most of their shows, mm-hmm. with the exception of CBS, where they bring in a writer of color. Well, unfortunately, what's happened is that the showrunners for these shows, they take the money from the network that subsidizes the position. They bring a person in, and the person often hits a glass ceiling really early. They may not be brought back. They're a token in the writing room. They have to kind of censor what they say and do. And they have a hard time kind of breaking into the club, so to speak, which is really what it really is. It's like a club atmosphere in these writing rooms. And because of that, we kind of restart the process every year. We never really build the momentum where people make it up the career ladder and get to a point where they're producing and creating their own shows, which is what it's really all about.
So is this then cronyism, racism, misogyny, or all three?
All three. Yeah. I mean, all three because, again, the people who are making decisions in the industry, say the programmers and executives and executive suites at these networks and studios, Again, mostly white males, and of course they think they know what's viable. Mm-hmm. And what they think is viable, of course, is based on their own cultural experiences and background. It's a sort of enlightened racism in the sense that the industry thinks of itself as very progressive, and most of the people who run the industry and make decisions think of themselves as liberals, and you know they support the Democratic Party and progressive issues. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to their own backyard, they don't see how their decision-making essentially reproduces a structure of inequality that is very sexist and very racist.
Might these numbers be better behind the camera?
Well, actually, the numbers are worse behind the camera.
Wow. You know, and I was trying to find something to hold on to.
Well, I mean, everyone points to, you know, recent examples as, wow, we've turned a corner, the year of black film, mm-hmm. you know, 12 Years a Slave, you know, The Help,
The Butler,
and all these films. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, our study is the largest one that's ever been done. We looked at 1,061 TV shows, believe it or not, mm-hmm. most of them on cable. Cable is huge. I mean, 60-something cable networks, six broadcast networks, and the top 200 films in terms of box office. I mean, and that's the entire universe mm-hmm. to look at patterns. And I suspect, because the study that we released last year was based on the 2011-12 season, we're always about a year or so behind because we have mm-hmm. to wait for complete data to come in mm-hmm. before we can start to analyze it. I suspect that when we look at data for this season, which we're in the process of doing now, and so 12 Years a Slave and some of those projects will fall into our next mm-hmm. report. I suspect that despite claims to the year of black film, these are going to be exceptions to the rule. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think that we're going to see any sea change in terms of kind of where the industry is going in terms of, you know, overall patterns. We're going to find a couple of exemplars like these films that demonstrate that these types of things sell, but it's not going to lead to any wholesale change in practices, I don't think. The numbers are just abysmal, and they've been abysmal for a long time. In fact, the gap is getting bigger between where America is going in terms of its diversity. Right now, you know, we're about 38% minority. By 2040 or so, we'll be majority minority. And so what we're trying to do with the project is to work constructively with the industry to kind of paint ourselves. I mean, we're based at UCLA, an mm-hmm. educational institution. We don't have a stake financially in the industry. So we're providing a public good. We're making this available to everyone in hopes of changing the discourse.
But are they helpful in giving you the data?
Well, we're not relying upon them for the data. Okay. And quite frankly, I wouldn't trust their data.
Okay.
So we have independent ways of getting data. The industry has a number of databases they use to do business, basically. They provide data that everyone uses to set advertising rates and the whole bit. Well, there are other sources of data that are used so people can keep track of what projects are in the pipeline, you know, right. who's starring in what, who might be available as talent, those types of things. So we have direct access to those databases, which are independent of the studios, independent of the networks. And every single project has data attached to it about who wrote it, who created right. it, who directed it, who starred. All that data we kind of repurpose, and we've created this huge data set that allows us to run all kinds of analyses across the industry.
So every year when you all essentially paint by the numbers and the picture comes clear and it happens to be a rather ugly picture, what's their defense? What do they say?
Well, they say they're working on it. Mm-hmm. And what we're trying to do is work with them. And that's the second part of our project. The first part is the report, just mm-hmm. painting the picture of how bad it is. The second part is, okay, so how can you intervene in the process and make a change, make a difference? So part of what we've done is we've gone directly to the industry for support. And the rationale there was if they have a stake in the project, mm-hmm. they're more likely to at least listen to what we have to say. And part of the deal is we have direct connections to executives within the studios and networks who are making decisions, and they take our study and they actually circulate it. So we're getting calls now independently from studios and networks asking us to come and talk to them about the findings mm-hmm. and how what they're doing fits in. And we've also seen at least a change in the rhetoric this year. I mean, ABC, Fox, a number of the networks have, you know, made wholesale changes in terms of the types of shows they're bringing out. Now, again, the proof is in the pudding. Mm-hmm. When we look at the data next year, we'll be able to say, okay, this was really a change as opposed to window dressing. But at least the discourse is shifting, and that's the first step, I think, and that's what we're trying to do.
Sociology professor Darnell Hunt is director of the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies at UCLA. He's one of the authors of the center's study, 2014 Hollywood Diversity Report, Making Sense of the Disconnect. Professor Hunt, thanks for your work, and good to have you on this program.
Thanks for having me.